coming up, how the way we live now made it easier for the deadly coronavirus to go worldwide.
When there is a disease and you want to contain it and stop spread, it's really hard to do, as everybody's much more mobile than they were before.
Plus, why the market recovery earlier this week didn't last. It's Friday, March 6th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is What's News. There are new restrictions in the Seattle area as coronavirus continues to spread on the West Coast. One school district is telling tens of thousands of students to stay home for 2 weeks. 11 people are dead in Washington state, the hardest hit in America. Big tech companies in the area, including Microsoft, Amazon, and Facebook, are telling employees to work from home. Coming up, we'll take a closer look at how and why the virus spread so quickly. Facebook has removed Trump campaign ads that refer to a census. It says they violate the company policy aimed at preventing disinformation and interference with the U.S. Census. The Trump campaign didn't respond to requests for comment. Census officials have raised general concerns that social media may be used to spread misinformation about the count. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon is recovering in a hospital after emergency heart surgery on Thursday. The bank says the procedure was successful and Dimon is alert and recovering well. J.P. Morgan is the biggest American bank by assets. The rapid spread of coronavirus may have surprised many business and political leaders. But health experts and economists who study pandemics say we should have seen this coming. And we need to be ready for it to happen more often. Our John Hilsenrath explains.
The frequency of epidemics and pandemics has been rising over years. A group called the EcoHealth Alliance, a nonprofit based in New York, has been building a database of infectious disease events and finds a big increase going back to the 1940s, which really spiked in the 1980s with HIV. It leveled off a little bit, but appears to be steadily on the rise and steadily elevated from back in the 1940s and 1950s. EcoHealth Alliance estimates that we're getting about 5 additional events per year, which amounts to about a 10% annualized rate of increase. So a lot of this does have to do with urbanization, and it also has to do with globalization. The fact is that we're packing more people into cities than we used to. The percentage of the American population that's living in urban areas has increased in the last 18 years from about 79% to 82%. So already a very urbanized society has become even more so over the last few years.
Urbanization is a particular trend in the country where the coronavirus epidemic began.
China has become more urban, which means people pack more closely together and in a position to be spreading viruses. But it's also become more global. China has made itself the factory floor to the world, the center of global manufacturing trade. And with that has meant a lot more travel from China to other places, including the United States. So viruses become more susceptible to spread locally because of urbanization, and then globally because of China's connection to the rest of the world and the connection of other countries to the rest of the world as well.
A lot of what we know about how this virus spread from China has to do with changes in technology that made all of us more connected. Our visuals team dug into routes the virus took and how it differs from the SARS epidemic. Joining me now is multimedia editor Rosie DeAcosta. Rosie, let's take this piece by piece. Explain how China's rail system played an important role here.
Well, Anne-Marie, China has invested heavily in the high-speed rail, which has changed the life of its citizens in a way that travel has been cut so much. Like before, traveling would take days to reach some remote areas like Xinjiang, for example. And now people travel in these high-speed trains that reach up to 350 kilometers per hour. And that cuts the travel time considerably, especially if we compare it with the SARS epidemic in 2003, which they were starting to develop, this rail system.
And there are also China's airports, which are connected to more and more international destinations. How did that influence the ability of the coronavirus to spread so quickly?
Yes, as like people in China have more disposable income, they travel more. And infrastructure also has increased, like the number of airports has increased through the country. And if you look, for example, at Wuhan Airport, that's a fairly newer airport. It opened in 1995. And it didn't really start international flights until 2000, like 20 years ago. Now it's like one of the biggest and the busiest airport in central China and one of the biggest airports in China in general. There are about 24, 25 million passengers a year just going through Wuhan. And it started like its intercontinental flights actually fairly recent in 2012. And as of now, Wuhan has like about 30 international destinations. So it's a pretty big and busy airport in central China.
So Rosie, what did you find about how the flights now coming out of Wuhan match to where the area's coronavirus has now spread?
We were looking at the data when about the flights right before the lockdown of Wuhan on January 23rd. And we could see that actually there are so many international flights. There are 30 destinations, but also like most of those flights go to Thailand and they go to Japan, they go to South Korea, they go to Vietnam. And this was matching with the number of cases outside of China that were starting to happen. Like the first cases outside of China were in those specific countries. It was in Japan, it was in South Korea, it was in Thailand. So we definitely think that there is a link or a connection with the international flights and the spread of the virus.
So, Rosie, what are the main takeaways you have after doing this project?
Well, I think like the main takeaway is that the world is definitely much more communicated nowadays than it was like in the early 2000s. And that might be very good for commerce. It's good for business. But in situations like this, when there is a disease and you want to contain it and stop spread, it's really hard to do as everybody's much more mobile than they were before. And flights are happening and people are traveling constantly. So yes, globalization, it has the good points, but it also has the bad points when you're trying to stop diseases from spreading.
That's Wall Street Journal multimedia editor Rosie DeAcosta. You can see the full project tracking the spread of coronavirus on WSJ.com. Rosie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Emery.
Now, on to markets. European shares began Friday lower following a down day in Asia and sharp drops on Wall Street yesterday. Treasury yields hit new record lows. The comeback for stocks earlier this week just didn't last, as worries remain about the economic impact of the coronavirus epidemic. Senior markets reporter Paul Davies explains what's happening.
Well, I guess there's a couple of reasons, one of which is slightly technical. The other is more about the uncertainty of the coronavirus and what it's going to do to the economy. The technical one is about the repositioning of hedge funds and systematic traders and these sorts of people and how they move from long to short and they have to cover positions and you get kind of like echoes and mini rebounds within a general sort of slowdown or fall in stock markets. And then the other, the more serious thing, I suppose, is that we just don't know what the effect on the economy is going to be. We're looking increasingly at, you know, more areas being shut down. Some schools in Seattle have been closed. And the longer term effects on the economy of that are hard to judge. But we're looking now towards what happens in China and the very short term, but incredibly painful slowdown that they had there from all the restrictions on movement and social mixing and so on that were brought into place to stop the spread of the virus. And that's kind of what people are worried about.
It's Jobs Friday. Our economics reporter, Sarah Cheney, says the latest employment numbers won't give us a full picture of the impact of the coronavirus.
It's normally a market-moving report, but might prove less important, given most businesses were surveyed about their employee headcounts before the coronavirus became an escalating economic concern in the U.S. Economists say the coronavirus could dent hiring in future months.
Among the data points we'll be looking at, wage growth. Economists are still trying to figure out why it's not faster when the job market is so tight. Be sure to listen to our PM edition for all the details. And that's what's news for this Friday morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.